From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
I'm sorry if I'm about to use bad language. I haven't had a day like this for a long time. I just snapped at my nearly 3-year-old because he wanted a drink of water. You just have no patience. You have no patience at all. Everything makes you really angry. You get angry because of the way you're feeling, the pain that you get. You can't think. It's just every second of every day has to be planned around this stupid fucking illness. You know what you used to be like. You can remember it like it was yesterday, just living life. Being able to leave the house and not think, do I have my medication? Do I have something in the car in case I fall asleep? Surely there's something that I can do to stop it. I wasn't born with it. It just seems so freaking unfair. I know life never turns out the way that you planned, but it just feels like I'm in a glass jar with a lid on and nobody can hear me. No one can hear me. But I'll be fine tomorrow. I would have swallowed all these emotions down before I have a cataplexy. I can feel it now. I get really tired when I get upset. And I forget what I was crying about. Everything just goes. I better put my phone down before I drop it.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about the podcast about
the unknown.
Why can I hear a baby? That baby's really loud. Can someone please tend to their baby? And then I'm like, I had a baby. And then opened my eyes and realized that was my baby. And I still couldn't move for a little bit. And then after it came back, I forced myself out of bed really quickly, I think adrenaline, and just went, all right, I have a baby, and walked out there and just did what I had to do. So that was the first time when I realized I had a difficult time remembering who I was every time. Not every time, but when I woke up. For a while there, I got really quite nervous and actually thought that's when I was starting to get dementia or something along those lines.
Today is the 15th of August. It is 10 to 5 in the afternoon. This morning I was really good. Took me a while to wake up. And I was having a really good day and I was going to do things and I thought I'd do them a bit later on because I was feeling really well, and now later on has come and I don't feel well, and then I start to, I get disappointed with myself thinking that it was going to last because I know better. I know I should have got it done earlier today when I was feeling good, when my brain was working, but now I was going to do assignments this afternoon and I've just been typing up a few things for the football club and I have trouble spelling mediocre words. They just don't look right and I just can't get the right spelling, can't think. It's not a fog when that happens, it's just blank. There's no resources that you can access within your own mind to try and work out how that word's spelt or how you should do things or how it looks or how it's just it's just a roadblock in your mind. It just stops. Yeah, it gets really frustrating because I should have got it done. And I have to do it this afternoon. I have school at 7:30 tonight. So it gets, yeah, like it's just happened now. I don't know what I was really talking about. I just, no one's home. And it gets really frustrating.
There was one incident where I fell asleep at my mum's house. I thought I was asleep, but I obviously went into a state of hallucination. Someone was banging on the back door. And I couldn't move, because it made me frightened. Finally, it broke down, like, the fly screen. Came in, I could hear boots walking really fast, quickly towards me, almost like something human can't walk that fast.
No.
I didn't even want to look at it. I was so scared. It came up right next to me, breathing on my neck, and I could feel the hot breath. And it just scratched my arm, and I couldn't move, and it just went down my whole arm, scratching it. It was trying to get me to respond, and I couldn't, so I just laid there and listened to it and got more scared. And then all of a sudden it said,
I'll come back another day.
And then it walked off, slammed the back door. Like, it unlocked it, slammed it, and went. I checked the footprints. I checked the fly screen. I checked the back door. It was still locked. I looked at my arm. There was nothing there. I couldn't find any sign that just happened. And, that's when I started thinking, like, maybe schizophrenia, like hallucinating. But it never happened while I was awake. So we went to the doctor, got really emotional about it by telling her that it's not postnatal depression. Please don't think I'm depressed. And she said, we got to see what's going on with your sleep. So she sent me to get a sleep study. So I saw the specialist and I sat down and he did the whole well look speech. And then he said, you had an arousal score of 36. I looked at him probably sideways with a funny look on my face. He said, your brain wakes up 36 times an hour. He asked me about these other things and he brought up my night terrors. I haven't told anybody and nobody understood what I was talking about, but he said, do you ever see things at night that you shouldn't be seeing? And I was so shocked that he asked me that. It was like, how did you know? And I just started going through the whole, like, did I tell him that? Have I told somebody that? How does he know that? And then he asked about muscles giving way and he brought up other things like insomnia, weight gain, and he just said, we call this narcolepsy. And then my brain just floated off into oblivion. Narcolepsy. I started to think of narcolepsy as a beast. I went through this massive stage of denial. I said, no, they've got it wrong. I don't have this. It's all wrong. It's wrong. Everybody's wrong. I'm going to live my life normally. I was just so stubborn and so in denial and didn't want to let it win. And that backfired. And it backfired really hard and really fast to the point where I put my kids' life at risk. I had to drive for 5 hours to a cousin's wedding. My mum was in her car and I had the kids in mine. I was so tired, my whole body was shaking, but I just kept saying, just let me pick up my kids and let's go home. Put the music on, put the aircon on, do everything I can to keep myself awake. But I was pre-dreaming with my eyes awake on a highway doing 100 Ks. And I was singing and then all of a sudden I realised I couldn't be bothered singing anymore. Got really warm and fuzzy and sat back in the driver's seat. I realised that I don't know how long I've been doing it for. I stopped fidgeting. I couldn't be bothered fidgeting anymore. I was floating off and thinking about weird stuff just before your mind settles into sleep. And then all of a sudden, everything just went like quiet. It felt like I blinked and all of a sudden we were at overtaking lanes. It scared me and I pulled over, put my hazards on. I rang my partner and said, something's happening and I don't know what it is and I'm on the highway. We're 20 minutes from town in the middle of nowhere and the kids are in the car and I don't know what to do. So my partner rang my mum, who was about 20 minutes behind us, to pull over and help us get home. She opened the door and scared me. She was yelling at me to get out and get into the passenger seat. Didn't understand what was happening. And then I kept telling her, I don't know if you're here. And I didn't know if what happened just happened, and I didn't know if I was still driving and I was about to hit a tree. I don't know if I'm dreaming or not. It just kept going over and over in my head, like, are you sure you're awake? Are you sure you're awake? Are you sure you're awake? Are you sure your mum's driving? Or are you hallucinating that she's driving? You get stuck in this dimension of in between awake and asleep. It's kind of like the beast was just digging the claws in even more, going, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? After that episode, all of the kids went quiet for a few days. One of them was still quite young, but he went through this stage of running into my room if I was lying down and waking me up. Every time I yawned, they asked me if I was okay. Every time I said I needed to lie down, they didn't want me to. They just wanted me to stay awake. That hurt. That really hurt, because I have trouble being a mum, just a mum, not a good mum. I guess nobody ever thinks that they're going to be a good mum, or they are a good mum. But sometimes I have trouble just being a mum and looking after my kids in a way that they need to be looked after. And that's when it gets really... If it takes that, I've got nothing else for it to give it. So I refused at the start. I refused to feed the beast. Now I must feed the beast, because otherwise the beast will come after me a lot harder. Narcolepsy has honestly taken my job, my career away. It took away my university degree, took away my social life, it took away my ability to be social, to leave the house. It took away my ability to drive long distances. It took away just everything that it can. I came up with this whole theory that I would have a wager. I'd give it everything as long as it didn't go after my children. If it takes that, I've got nothing else for it to give it.
Today is the 7th of August 2017. It's 8:31 in the morning. Body is so sore. I was in bed for 10 hours, I think. Back is killing me. This morning's really, really hard. Had vivid dreams all night. Multiple ones all molding into one. That they get that vivid that you have to wake up, make sure that they're not, what happened in your dream didn't actually happen. Trying to get the kids all ready for school. Got 3 kids under the age of 10. It's just going to be one of those days where all I want to do is go home and curl up in bed and do nothing, but you just have to soldier on.
Chrissy got her narcolepsy diagnosis back in 2015. She's still working with her doctors to find a treatment regimen that will help control her sleep attacks and cataplexies. Chrissy lives in Australia with her partner and her 3 kids. She attends a university in hopes of finding a new career. Over on our website, we have photos of Chrissy's bed and her daily medications. Find us at hbmpodcast.com. Beck Fari made this episode. She's the Melbourne-based creator of Sleep Talker, a podcast about sleep, dreams, and nightmares at sleeptalkerpodcast.com.
Love will take you if you allow it, but the way my saliva falls out of my mouth when I'm sleeping at night, it shows there are palms wanting to exit my torso. I wonder if I'll ever make it.
Hey, so in other news, we just got this voicemail line, and we want to hear from you for an upcoming episode. Here's the question. What is unknowable to archaeologists of the future? Because a lot of knowledge is preserved in writing, or in landfills, or just in the collective consciousness. But there must be some things that archaeologists, 3 million years from now, just fundamentally can't understand about the world today. Maybe it's the smell of snow melting after a long winter, or maybe it's the softness of a stingray's skin, or maybe those archaeologists will just look in vain for those complete breakfasts we were supposed to have been eating with our corn pops. So what's unknowable to archaeologists of the future? Leave us a voicemail, 765-374-5263. Again, 765-374-5263. Well, this episode was produced by Bethany Denton and by me, Jeff Entman. Our editor at KCRW is Nick White. Here Be Monsters is a part of the independent producer project from KCRW, where Kristen Lepore is our manager. Music on this episode came from Phantom Fauna and The Black Spot. One last thing. KCRW wants to learn more about you, who you are, and how you listen. So if you have just 3 minutes to help us out, head over to kcrw.com/survey. And from Beth and me and everyone else, thank you for doing that. And thank you for listening. More episodes soon.